100 years ago, Albert Einstein was gearing up to present his theory of general relativity to the world. During the month of November in 1915, Einstein delivered a series of four reports to the Prussian Academy of Sciences and fundamentally changed our understanding of the way gravity works. The theory predicted the existence of gravitational waves, and ever since, scientists have been trying to find a way to observe and measure these waves directly. Well, 100 years on, we are closer than ever to that goal, thanks to some big new pieces of technology that have just been powered up in the United States. Robin Williams joins us from the Science Show. Of course, I don't need to tell you that, but Chris Smith couldn't be with us. We're thrilled to have Robin with us here for Science News. Hello, Robin.
Hi. Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Gravitational waves.
What are they and why haven't we found them?
Now, I'll give you the answer. They are ripples in the fabric of space-time. Now you know, don't you?
Yeah, great. I've always been wondering.
But it's incredible. You know, while all these huge explosions are going on in space with the black holes colliding into each other and even neutron stars, the most dense matter in the universe, spinning around, if there's just a blip on top of that neutron star going round, so gravitational waves are produced. And I am assured by the experts, many of which are actually in Australia, that this time, in the next few months, and that's after Einstein, you know, on the 25th of November 1915, 100 years after he said that they were likely, we may indeed, with the new equipment, be able to find them. And the incredible thing is that gravity is so obvious. I'm standing here being pulled to the floor. I'm not floating up to the ceiling.
Yeah, we all get it.
Yeah. So why is there a problem finding these waves? Well, it's so weak, apparently, and so they've got to be very, very sensitive detectors, about 4 kilometres long, and they've built LIGO, which is what the name of the experiment is, in mainly America, but we are helping with the technology. Now, here for the first time, I think, in history, we're about to hear two of the scientists from Monash singing what gravitational waves might sound like. We've got Eric Thrain and Paul Lasky. Let's just listen.
A binary merger, this is two stars merging or two black holes merging. So this system starts out far apart, and as it gets closer together, objects whirl around faster and faster until they merge. And so this makes a gravitational wave sound in our detectors that sounds like this. It's called a chirp. That's not a bad impersonation either.
Do it again.
That was good.
Good. And at the end, that's the black holes merging.
But tell me, if you haven't found gravitational waves yet, how do you know that that's what they sound like?
Gravitational waves, and that sound in particular, are predicted by Einstein's theory of general relativity, which is one of the best tested theories in all of physics. We also see systems of stars that are many millions of years away from making that sound. So they're emitting gravitational waves, but the gravitational waves are so low frequency, you know, below some really low frequency that we can't hear them, but we can see these systems and we can observe that they must be emitting gravitational waves because they're very slowly increasing in frequency, getting higher pitch.
You're about to make a sound, weren't you?
I can make a sound if you'd
please.
Like. I'm a little bit embarrassed that Eric's asked us to do this.
Splendid.
But I can give a somewhat more mundane sound for a neutron star that is rotating. My pitch is not very good, so I'll try and get the frequency right. But it actually is just a very simple sound. It's going to be something more like...
That was very good, Paul.
Now, the interesting thing is...
Is this how scientists engage each other at parties?
Having fun. That was Paul Lasky with Eric Thrain. Now, this isn't just fun and games, but because if you can find these gravitational waves, you can use them as a new window on the universe and actually see not just the surface of bodies like black holes or neutron stars, you can see through them. And so it'll be a whole new way of looking at the universe, which is terribly exciting. And they tell me the technology is just so much better now that in the next few months it'll be announced, and if it does, it'll be fantastic.
It will be fantastic, and we'll have all sorts of people making those noises. Briefly, Robin, on another technique entirely, we've heard on this program lately about the devastating effects of the massive forest fires in Indonesia, and now we're hearing that they could impact on the amazing reef ecosystems too there.
I find it really staggering. You've got, 14,000 square kilometres of forest and peatland being burned. That's 12 times an area bigger than Sydney or Melbourne. A huge loss of habitat on land and vast amounts of CO2 being emitted. which is, you know, the same as America being burned each year. Now, the problem is you've got ash and you've got smoke going out onto the reefs. And that, as we've shown a number of times with Australian research, when it lands on the coral reefs, it actually kills the coral. And it kills not just the coral, but the seagrasses as well. And this is devastating the fisheries of Indonesia. And not noticing the difference between what happens on the land and what happens in the ocean could be, for that island and island nation, a really tremendous problem.
So we have first-hand experience of that here, do we? Well, I mean, we have bushfires all the time. We've had that impact on some of our reefs?
We certainly have. The research has been done in Queensland and certainly in Western Australia as well. They have burning off, but the regulations are very strict. And having too much actually going out to the coastal area and landing in that vast quantity I just mentioned, which is happening in Indonesia, the ash and the smoke and the particulate matter, would be just too much. In a year when you've got such increasing temperatures and bleaching is being predicted for these coral reefs.
Bad news for the reefs. Robin, it's a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Our special guest this morning, Robin Williams, and you can catch the Science Show of Robin, of course, on RN at 9 p.m. on Thursdays, and as he has been for 40 years, 12 p.m. on Saturdays.